Last week, in my homily, I said that Jesus is intrusive. Now, that came from another person. He said, if you look at the gospel of last week, Jesus is intrusive. He's intruding upon the lives of Peter and Andrew, James and John. If you think of it, he just shows up out of nowhere, and he says, I'd like to use your boat to preach. And Peter said, sure. Now, what went through Peter's mind, I wonder, was he thinking, who is this guy? Shows up out of nowhere, he wants to get into my boat and preach to the people. And then after he preached to the people, he said, put the boat out and lower your nets. He doesn't say, hey, you think you might want to try that? No, he says, do it. Do it. And of course, he puts out his nets and he gets a huge catch of fish. But Jesus was intrusive, let's face it. He was intruding in their lives. And he intrudes in our lives too. He doesn't coerce us, but he doesn't ask for permission, does he? No, he doesn't. Now that's good. That's good, because can you imagine Jesus every time saying, hey, can I do this, can I do that? Well, we'd be worse off today than we ever were. So Jesus is intrusive. And then I also said, if you think about it, Jesus is really dangerous. He's dangerous. You follow Jesus and watch out. Look what happened to Paul. Look what happened to the martyrs of the early church. It's dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. Maybe not so much today, but certainly back then it was dangerous. And I also mentioned that when we celebrate the Eucharist, we're getting into dangerous waters because we're dealing with the Almighty God. And do we have a little bit of nervousness or awe in being here? One writer, as I mentioned, said, instead of worrying about the outfits we're wearing, we should be given crash helmets, life preservers, and we should be lashed to our pews if we really knew what was going on during Mass. That's dangerous territory. And here we do it every week, you know, we come in, we go out, I did my duty, and yet this is one of the opportunities where Jesus intrudes on our lives, and thank God he does. Thank God he does. But it is dangerous to be a follower of Jesus if we really go deeper and deeper and deeper into our faith. If we look at today's gospel, we have the Sermon on the Plain, not the Sermon on the Mount. That's the Beatitudes of Matthew. But today it's Luke, and it's the Sermon on the Plain. And the Beatitudes from Matthew are, you know, kind of nice and flowery, but Luke's are much more demanding. He says, it's good if you're poor. Think about it. It's good if you're hungry. You should hunger for God. It's good if you weep, because it means there's something going on that is important to us, or it's not happening in the world, and so we weep. It's good that if you're persecuted. And that's how we should be living our lives, to work to be poor, and not just spiritually poor, but even physically poor, which is a way of saying, well, Lord, it's all about you. It's not about me. It's not about what I have done, what's in my bank account, what I have achieved. It's about you. And isn't that what the responsorial psalm says? Trust in God. Hope in God. And that's what Jeremiah says too. Don't trust human beings. Trust only God. And so that's what Luke is getting at. Yeah, be poor. Be hungry. Because as long as you have those things going on, you're going to want more. And hopefully that more is God. And then Luke goes on to say, woe to you who are rich now. You've gotten your reward. Woe to you who are satisfied now. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when people speak well of you. And I think all of us can think that's true of our lives, isn't it? I mean, that's what we want. We want to be secure, and so we look at our efforts. But Jesus, the dangerous Messiah, says, no, 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 that's not the way to go. Let's turn it all upside down. And unfortunately, in our culture today, you know, we go through, yeah, that's very good, I believe what Jesus said, but do we really look upon him as an intrusive, dangerous Messiah? Do we look at him that way? I don't think we do. I think we kind of look at him in this kind of a warm, fuzzy way. He's always there for us, and he is. He doesn't coerce us, he doesn't force us to do his will, and yet he really wants us to do his will. He wants us to go deeper into our faith, to become poor, to become hungry. And that's why we have Lent, right? And we fast. I mean, we're not suffering from that, but it gives us an idea when we get hungry, you know, we want food. Well, we're supposed to be thinking, well, the real food is Jesus Christ. And that's why in the Eucharist, we receive the flesh and blood of God. That's real food for eternal life. So it doesn't matter if I hunger physically, if I hunger spiritually and get my fill of Christ here, then when I go out those doors, it won't be as big a change to actually work on hunger, real hunger, to weep about my sins and the sins of the world, to do all those things. But that's the challenge of Jesus Christ. It's very obviously profound. It's challenging. It goes deep into our guts. And we don't want to suffer. Who wants to suffer? But again, if we look at Paul and what Paul went through, and he truly believed it, he said, yes, there's death, but because we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if we are faithful, we too will be resurrected. That's at the core of our faith. And what we're supposed to be thinking is, okay, if I'm faithful, that will happen to me. So what happens now in terms of being persecuted or being hungry or being poor really doesn't matter because my focus is on doing the will of Jesus Christ. And again, throughout the scriptures, it's always about don't put your trust in yourself, don't put your trust in other people. You know, every 4 years we have an election for a president, and it's as if we're voting on a Messiah. We got the Messiah. We know who he is. Do we pay attention to him, to his platform? And today's Beatitudes are a platform, really. He's laying out a platform for us that we need to adopt and follow in our lives. And again I say, and we have to work on this as a church, we have to get together with other like-minded people to really go deeper into our faith. Left alone, and so many Americans are living on their own, we're into individualism, so forth and so on, we don't want to be held accountable. I'll do it in my own way, and yet the church was created by God to put us together, to talk about this dangerous, intrusive God, and to challenge one another. And we certainly see that at the beginning of the church, in the Acts of the Apostles. It says clearly, and this is how people became poor, at least physically, they sold their property, gave it to the apostles so that they could distribute it to everyone who was in need. Nobody held back. Now, not everyone did that, but people were so convinced that Jesus was the Messiah and what he preached, what he taught was true, that they were willing to sell and give to the apostles. There's an example of people living out the Beatitudes of the plain of Luke. People who said, okay, you're not kidding. You're not just saying nice things, but you are dangerous because you mean what you say. And of course, we know that Jesus lived it himself. He didn't have property. He didn't have money. When he sent people out, he says, don't take a money belt. Don't take a second set of clothes. Just go out and proclaim the gospel. And that's the same commission that we've been given, to go out and preach about this dangerous, intrusive Messiah who is everything. As he says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing outside of Jesus Christ that can give us a fulfilling, joyful eternity. And that's what Jesus wants for all of us. And not just in this room, but for everyone out in the world. Hence the Great Commission at the end of the Gospels. Go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And certainly, again, in the early church, people did that because they were so convinced of the truth of what Jesus said, and even convinced that the world was going to come to an end very quickly, that they put all their effort into it. And all through the centuries, we have saints who did that. And ordinary people who we won't know until we go to heaven who did that. But how are we doing when it comes to giving everything to Christ, to going deeper in our faith, to living dangerously? And other people may say, why are you doing that? What are you going to have left? Well, we have a lot left if we have Jesus. So in the Beatitudes on the Plain, we're given a different view. It's the same Jesus Christ preaching. It's the same thing. It's all part and parcel with his preaching. But he's going a little bit deeper into who we are called to be. He's saying, you really want to be followers of me, do this, do that, avoid this, avoid that. But congregate together and share with one another. Be with other people who don't have what we have and serve them, so forth and so on. And the more we do that, the more we become another Christ in the world, which is why we were baptized, to become another Christ. So as always, we have to hold ourselves accountable and ask ourselves, it's not even a question of, am I doing enough? We can never do enough. But the question is, what more can I do? What more do I want to do? What more can I imagine myself doing? What more will I do? Just as we plan and get a list when we go to Wegmans to get our food, we need to make those lists for ourselves in terms of our faith life. To say, okay, today this is what I'm going to do. Tomorrow this is what I'm going to do. And to be as serious about that list as we are about other lists in our lives. So as we continue our Eucharist, as we are fed with the Word of God, as we are fed with the very body of Christ, let's remember that we do that so that we can go out and live dangerously, so that we can be dangerous followers of Jesus, so that we can live poorly, so we can hunger, so we can weep, so we don't care if people persecuted. But we do it simply because we love the Lord, because he loved us first. So that's always the message and always the challenge, to go out of this building and to continue to live what we are celebrating now, what we have heard, what we have received, to live it more fully, to do it better and better and better, so that we can be the fulfilled disciples that each of us was created to be.